boutique and a swinging high spot. Don't it always seem to go? You don't know what you got till it's gone. They pay paradise and they put up a parking lot.
We're live in Studio B today with a very special guest, Michael Testerman from Rail Solution, and he's going to talk to us about the situation with I-81. As you know, for the next 60 days, we are trying to focus on the legislature and some of the bills that are coming before the General Assembly. So we are very excited to be able to talk to Michael today. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Rebecca, for inviting me.
Michael, tell us who Rail Solution is.
We're a mostly all grassroots organization that spans the Virginia I-81 corridor from Winchester to Bristol. Probably have about 900 members on the listserv and about 100 really active people that participate on and off in our steering committee. We're also backed up by about 10 organizations that lend us their support.
How did Rail Solution get started?
It's a story, and it's better than a reality show. If you'll recall, the North American Free Trade Agreement, which was passed during the Clinton administration, everyday folks in Southwest Virginia gradually started seeing trucks becoming more prevalent on the interstate, and this became exaggerated during the late 90s, especially when there were several horrific fatalities that involved truck wrecks. There were prayer groups that churches started to pray for the safety of people who traveled 81. Now, here's what happened. The interstate was designed for about 15% trucks as it was built back in the early 60s. And toward the late 90s, we found that trucks frequently exceeded three times the design capacity for the road. And at the same time, cars were not exceeding the design capacity for automobiles. So folks started coming up with suggestions and remedies for the safety issues and the capacity issues that were confronting the interstate. And a consortium led by Halliburton stepped forward and organized with some Virginia road construction people to form this group called Star Solution. And they proposed that the state enter into a public-private transportation act agreement to remedy the problems on Interstate 81 by building four entirely new lanes dedicated only to tractor-trailer trucks that were going long distances. And this would be built mostly in the median of the interstate, and it would be mostly paid for with tolls from the drivers of these long-distance trucks. Now, if you'll step back and look at the everyday citizens, many of whom live on farms and many of whom have an appreciation for the extreme beauty of the Shenandoah Valley and its cultural resources and its historic resources, the idea of envisioning an interstate that looks like the New Jersey Turnpike between 6 and 12 lanes wide from end to end, this just didn't seem like the right way to go. And people started writing letters to the editor and talking about it. And that's how we got in touch with each other, the nucleus that formed Rail Solution, people that read each other's editorials and agreed, hey, I agree with this guy. And we ended up talking on the phone, and before you know it, we had a campaign going.
So that was in 2003 or?
About 2002.
2002. Mm-hmm. Why is I-81 so popular with the trucks? What's going on with that?
Much of the traffic on 81 originates in the deep southeast. Some of it comes as far away as the Mexican border in Laredo. And it's heading toward markets in New York City, New Jersey, and all of New England. Now, there are several ways to get there, and they're not all that different in distance. But Interstate 81 has the distinction of not going through major cities for its entire route. So instead of coming a little bit east and coming up 85 and 95 through Atlanta, trucks can get on 81 and come up through Tennessee and Virginia.
What is Rail Solution's main goal What are you guys hoping to accomplish?
Well, we want to avoid that horrific widening of 81, but there are also people that want to see the environmental issues addressed. All those trucks that are projected bring with them truck pollution, runoff during rainstorms. Then there's the visual impact of such a wide highway.
Noise pollution.
The sound barriers alone would be 20 feet tall through nearly every major urban area. And those of you whom have driven through the Christiansburg area on 81, maybe perhaps on your way to see a Tech game, have seen these huge sound walls. And that's what a lot of the interstate would look like through every single metropolitan area. So it would industrialize the corridor.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to WRIR 97.3, Richmond LPFM. And I'm Rebecca Ferris. I'm your host live in Studio B with my very special guest, Michael Testerman, who's talking to us about the situation with I-81. This is Richmond Indy Media News. Michael, have you had any successes to date? It sounds really like a David and Goliath story.
This is going to be better than a reality show, I can assure you. As we first got our act together, our grassroots members approached their local boards of supervisors and city councils, and we found that it was very easy to amass about 38 resolutions from one end of the corridor to another, all petitioning the state, the Department of Transportation, and the governor to consider a balanced approach to the I-81 problem, less road widening and maximizing the ability of railroad trains to divert trucks onto convenient and easy-to-use railroad trains. So we got all these resolutions, about five more planning district commissions and regional planning groups also submitted resolutions. Last year, we were able to solicit grants and donations to publish a broadsheet called the Valley, the Shenandoah and Southwest Virginia Citizen. This was a broadsheet which described our vision, our goal, our campaign to date. This was distributed to every single publication from one end of the valley to the other. I think we ran off about 350,000 copies of this broadsheet, and they were put in newspaper inserts and distributed to folks. We also successfully carried some legislation in the last General Assembly. So these are our success stories to date.
Can you tell us a little bit about those pieces of legislation that you were successful with?
One of the things that we discovered as we were looking at the prospect of putting trucks onto trains is that making improvements only in Virginia don't really attract the shippers in quantities that would make a big difference. And yet the state was looking at a Virginia-only solution. Their road improvements were Virginia-only. Now, they assume that there's going to be capacity at either end of Virginia to funnel all these trucks and cars onto this new highway that they're proposing. In the case of the railroad, though, they said, no, we'll only look at the improvements that the railroad can make within Virginia. And it always comes up short in terms of how well it competes with highway expansion. So we introduced a bill championed by Russell Potts of Winchester to have the state consider a multi-state planning initiative. This would get several other states together to cooperate. Delegate Ben Klein in the House submitted a similar piece of legislation, and his was in the form of a resolution. Both of these pieces of legislation passed. We also found a brave supporter in Emmett Hanger of Augusta, who actually introduced a piece of legislation that would have suspended the negotiations with this Star Solution Consortium so that we could get on with making spot improvements that were being held up while we negotiated this huge end-to-end contract. His bill went down in flames, but he made a statement and a lot of people rallied to his support. It was a very energetic hearing when he brought his bill before the Transportation Committee.
Can you tell us a little bit about what a spot solution is?
Well, the state of Virginia had already identified improvements that were needed as they were watching the highway congest, and they identified the hot spots. Almost 30% of all of the fatalities that occur on Interstate 81 occur in only 8% of the mileage. So if you can go back and correct these areas where there are safety issues, and some of them are also congestion-related, particularly on steep hills in, say, Rockbridge County, for instance. The trucks have to slow down as they go up these really long grades going uphill from the Murray River and the Buffalo Creek overpass. And everything else has to slow down behind them. And sometimes people aren't paying attention and they run into the back of a truck or a truck gets going too fast on a downgrade. So these are improvements that could all be made in spot areas that would make the interstate a lot safer rather than simply widening it from end to end.
Michael, we've just had a call from a listener here in Richmond who wants to ask you, what's going on with the light rail transportation systems in Virginia? Do you know anything about that?
I wear a lot of hats.
You do? Good.
and as a member of the Virginia Association of Railway Patrons, I've been on several groups, committees in Richmond that have studied light rail. I have to say, though, that they're incubating right now. To jumpstart this, I and members from localities all around the state are hoping to host a light rail transportation symposium at the Science Museum of Virginia. We've had two meetings. The next one will be in a few weeks. That gets us off the main subject that we're here for today, but thanks to our listener for calling in about that, and be on the lookout to hear more about it as we build support for that meeting.
Silver, thank you for calling in. Where would our listeners find out more about that? Could they go to railsolution.org?
Well, for the light rail?
Yes.
No, we don't really have a website right now.
Could you post to richmond.indymedia.org?
I can do that.
Excellent. So all our listeners, please keep an eye out on our website, richmond.indymedia.org, for more information about this really exciting development with the light rail.
Rebecca, you brought up the where listeners can go to get information, and the Rail Solution has, among its other list of successes, We've attracted some very talented graphics persons, and they helped us put out that broadsheet. They also helped us redesign our fledgling and initial website, and we have a dynamite website now. It's Rail Solution. That's all one word, and it does not have an S on the end. It's railsolution.org.
I can attest to that, Michael. I was there last night on your site, and it is incredible. It's well laid out, it's very attractive, and it's so easy to use and full of incredible information. I was just stunned by all the great information that was on the website. So everybody be sure and check out our website, richmond.indymedia.org, for future postings, and go to railsolution.org. Well, what about the bills for 2006, Michael? Do you have some new ones? You had a lot of successes in 2005. What about 2006?
Does anybody remember Jimmy Durante? he used to have a byline, everybody wants to get into the act. And this is what's happening this year. We had people that we didn't even approach that are submitting bills in the General Assembly that want to deal with the Interstate 81 issue, but we do have some sponsors and some specific bills that that we're following. We're going to yet again have not one, not two, but four bills that also call for the state to halt negotiations with this Halliburton-backed consortium, Star Solutions, so the state can get on with the spot improvements. The state has done three studies over the past 5 years that have looked at how many trucks can be put onto trains. Every time these studies are completed, They are biased to favor this rail project, I mean this road project, excuse me, this road project, which the establishment wants and which people are comfortable with in terms of we know how to build roads. We haven't built trains in a long time, so let's just keep doing things the way we have. But we're introducing a bill that will ask the state to work backwards. We're setting a goal of removing 60% of the trucks onto trains. Now, if you start from that perspective, we're just saying, okay, now come up with a plan, a feasibility plan that will do that. And we know from experience from other countries, from other parts of this country, that it can be done. So we're not accepting the bias of these previous studies. So that's another piece of legislation. We're also supporting, in general, the establishment of a state rail development authority. Senator Edwards from Roanoke has introduced this bill three times. The first year it passed with a condition that it be brought up the second year. And then he got into a little bit of trouble in politics. And and then he got into competition with Governor Warner, who submitted another bill to establish a rail enhancement fund in lieu of a state rail development authority. We were fine with going with this temporary measure. At least we think it's temporary, because I think ultimately the state does need a rail development authority, which is autonomous from the Commonwealth Transportation Board. So Senator Edwards is sponsoring that. It's hard for him to get traction because it's still a political issue. There may be ways that other people can help get on board, and it maybe if we look at it for one more year, it will stand better chance in another 12 months.
Could you explain that a little bit, Michael? I don't see where the resistance is coming from. Why would any legislator resist these ideas, which seem so logical and so sustainable? What we're doing now and the widening of I-81 for more and more and more trucks is ultimately not sustainable. So can you explain a little bit about the politics that you face?
Well, speaking specifically to the rail authority that Senator Edwards proposed, it would have been based on the highly successful Virginia Port Authority, which has created one of the world-class deep water ports in Norfolk. And these folks are able to oversee a coordinated effort across that entire Hampton Roads region. They decide what's needed. They work with the shippers and the railroads and the trucking companies. And they have a mission that they're able to follow through on. And we thought that the Rail Development Authority would be able to do pretty much the same thing. But in the case of rail, specifically for I-81, but in general for the entire state, the railroads themselves are barely generating enough income to support the existing infrastructure that they own, and they're not able to contribute a whole lot of new money other than what they otherwise would anyway, and they're more comfortable spending money according to their business plans and the goals that their stockholders have for them. So they're not as enthusiastic about a rail authority as the rest of us would be, unless we bring more money to the table. Well, where does more money come from? In the case of the state, you might be able to get a little bit from the general fund, but the identified needs of the rail industry in the state are over $1 billion a year, almost equal to the road needs over the next decade. Money like that isn't easily forthcoming. So the concept of the rail authority, or indeed making rail improvements for the I-81 corridor, are scaring off a lot of the physical conservative establishment in Virginia, who don't know where the money is going to come from, and they don't want the state to take on bond debt, because we just don't know if we'll be able to repay it.
Where would the money come from for the widening of I-81?
Tolls. And not only on trucks, but on cars. And this was the caveat that started to percolate toward the end of the study that the state was doing as they started negotiating with this Star Solution Consortium. The trucks alone would not be able to pay a high enough toll to pay for the roads. if they were required to, they would simply take another road which didn't have tolls on it. So it was a lose-lose situation. On the other hand, tolling everybody may still be a lose-lose situation for the people of the Shenandoah Valley, for whom Interstate 81 is their main street.
Would trucking interests be harmed if Rail Solutions' idea of building railroads parallel to the highway and carrying trucks on the rails from end to end, would that harm the trucking industry?
Some people initially think that it would, or that truckers would be against this, but in many parts of the country, trucking is the biggest customer of railroads, particularly United Parcel Service, Hunt, Schneider International. All these companies use railroads exclusively, not exclusively, but extensively. The problem is, though, that here in Virginia, the railroad isn't engineered the way it is in other parts of the country, so it's not available to the people that are now using Interstate 81. So our railroad would have to be upgraded similar to the rails in other parts of the country. Truckers are faced with driver shortages. They're faced with escalating fuel costs, so the railroad offers a very economical and cost-effective way to continue doing their business. We would simply carry the trucks for the longest part of the journey, and the trucks would still continue to do pickup and delivery at the ends of their train journey.
Makes incredible sense. What about the draft environmental impact statement? What kind of response have you gotten from that? I'm sorry, Rail Solution is responding to the draft environmental impact statement, right?
Our listeners, I guess, need to be familiar with the process of selecting this consortium to improve the interstate. It also requires a separate study by the state under the National Environmental Policy Act, which requires that environmental impacts be analyzed. And even if we choose this consortium to upgrade the highway, we have to go through this other process, which is required. And in late December, the state just released a draft of the study that looks at all the impacts for the interstate corridor. And it was in this study that we found that many of the documenting studies analysis had been buried way in the back, and that they were poorly documented. And again, it predisposed the outcome to choose a highway widening project. Now, this draft environmental impact study said that we probably can't afford a truckway, but we're still going to widen the highway at least a full three lanes in each direction. Make it a six-lane instead of a four-lane highway. And we're calling that Star Solution Light, or Star Light. So, again, the state and the folks that are backing Star Solution still are not taking seriously the option of putting trucks onto trains. They want to build as much roadway as they can. Our mantra, on the other hand, is maximize rail, minimize road expansion.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to WRIR 97.3 LPFM, and this is Richmond Indie Media News. I'm your host, Rebecca Ferris, and I'm here live in Studio B with our very special guest, Michael Testerman from Rail Solution, and we're talking about the issue of I-81, and we're really talking about future sustainability of transportation.
Yes.
So, Michael, are you having any upcoming public comment on the draft environmental impact statement, or what's the current status of the campaign?
We've been waiting to get clarification, and it looks like this will be conducted within the next 30 days. The state will announce when the public hearings will be, and thereafter the public will have 60 days to submit written comments.
So what can our listeners do, Michael, to get involved in this issue?
Well, there's a state website where you can go to find all of the facts as Virginia Department of Transportation sees them. And I don't have a handle on the exact web link, but it's i81.org, something.
Something like that?
Something like that. But the Rail Solution Coalition will be posting notices on our own website, and that again is railsolution, all one word, .org.
No S on the end. That's right. Can you tell us what Rail Solution's next steps are?
We're seeking credibility, and we hope that these bills that are in the General Assembly to get a feasibility plan funded will once and for all show that we can cost effectively build rail infrastructure that can divert as many trucks as the road widening project is projected to do, and do it cheaper, using less fuel, less air pollution, greater safety for folks that are driving in their automobiles. And guess what? If we make those rail upgrades, you can put passenger trains on this upgraded railroad too.
Well, thank you so much for being here today, and especially thank you for all your hard work and your passion on behalf of all of us. I really appreciate it, and I hope you'll keep us updated.
Be glad to.
And you'll keep posting to the website when there are important things for the public to know.
Will do.
Terrific. We're going to continue now with more of the news and event announcements from our website, richmond.indymedia.org. John Conyers, one of the members of Congress, has introduced three pieces of legislation aimed at censuring President Bush and Vice President Cheney and at creating a fact-finding committee that could be a first step toward impeachment. John Conyers is asking for your help. Please take action by going to johnconyers.com and finding out how you can get involved. The Censure Bush campaign will provide a new focus for town hall meetings about Iraq and will help organize around the country. So if you'd like, you can also go to censurebush.org and find out more about the movement that is involved in finding out about the local of the national domestic spying that Bush has admitted to through the National Security Agency. And if you're interested, go to those websites, or you can go to our website and find out more. Want to tell you about an event that's coming up, sponsored by the Vegetarian Society of Richmond. Keeping Fit with Vegetarian Nutrition is a book written by Bernadette Jones Howard. She is actually going to be at the Friends Meeting House, 4500 Kensington Avenue, on January 28th from 5 p.m. And at 6 p.m. there will be a potluck dinner. If you can, bring a vegan dish to share. If you want more information, call 344-4356 or go to our website, richmond.indymedia.org. Bernadette Jones Howard has been a vegetarian since she was 15, and she's also a personal trainer. She emphasizes proper technique to prevent injury and teaches us how to push beyond where you might have stopped if you were alone, and she specializes in dealing with eating disorders. So be sure and find out about that. You are probably aware that thus far there are 15 anti-choice bills introduced into the General Assembly seeking to limit women's reproductive rights. Delegate Bryan introduced a bill, House Bill 868, that requires parental notification for emergency contraception, and Delegate Bryan has once again introduced a bill requiring clinics to meet the standards of ambulatory surgical centers. If that bill passes, that would put every contraceptive and abortion center out of business in the state except one. If you would like to join pro-choice supporters from around the state of Virginia, there will be a pro-choice lobby day on February 2nd, 2006. So go to www.ppav.org for more information, or contact our website, richmondindymedia.org. Thank you for being with us today. We had a wonderful show. Be sure and check out climateimc.org for all the information around the world on global warming. And we will be back with you next week, Tuesdays from 12:30 to 1 o'clock, with another interesting guest and more information about what's going on in the legislature. Just want to encourage everyone to become part of the conversation and to let your legislators hear from you. Peace out.